Welcome to Prague Will Find a Way, your friendly neighborhood podcast about Prague rock. I'm Jay Valade.
I'm Jonathan Block.
And we are joined once again by our friend Ted Winchell. Sitting in.
Thanks for having me.
World's number one Marillion fan.
That's why we call him Marillion Guy.
Marillion Guy. Actually, there's a funny story. So you have to, somebody, I don't know. I've always heard it. I've always heard Jay's version of the story.
Jay's version is probably the right version.
You want to tell us?
There was a local CD store that Ted went in one day, and they didn't have it.
Back in the day when, like, every town had, like, 8 CD stores, yeah. You know?
And this one specialized in imports of a lot of...
I got my
British guide
to King Crimson Japanese double set with the booklet that you need the freaking magnifying glass to read.
I probably got that there,
too. Reproduced. Yeah, it was, like, $60 or something. Of course, I wish I still had it.
So Ted walks in one day and just, you know, is looking through the stuff and asks him or buys a Marillion CD import. And ever since then at that store, whenever you would walk in, Ted would walk in and I would go, Marillion Guy.
Yes. I go in like a month later and he goes, Marillion Guy.
Which ad? Do you remember the album?
But then I was probably like, you know, Holidays in Eden or...
You know, it's funny. I never got branded Marillion Guy because now that we're talking, you know what I bought there?
6 of 1, half dozen the other.
Besides themselves. I bought that there.
I remember that.
Yeah.
I remember when you got that.
I was like,
oh, I've always wanted that, but it was like $20.
Yeah, it was 20 something. You know, but, you know, I needed Tucson or
Grindelwald.
Charlie the Single and, you know, Margaret.
3 boats down from the candy.
Charlie the Single, I liked, even though it's extremely simplistic. There's something about
anyway, so
but we're not talking
so
about
when John and I are like talking about Prague and people who are going, oh, you're going with Marillion, and he's not really even a big Marillion fan.
Jay goes to a lot of concerts with people whose names begin with a T, so I get everybody confused. We've had Tim on, now we've got Ted on.
Yeah, so be careful what you purchase.
Yeah.
You might become known as Effordent Guy.
Effordent Guy. There we go. Bringing it all around.
There you go. All right. So, a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah. We have a little news. Not a ton, but I mean, there's a lot of new albums that are recently out and some that are about to be released. We were talking in our little break before we started recording, and that David Gilmour has a new album out, Luck and Strange, which I've listened to a number of times and I really like.
And he's on tour.
I don't know that it is the best thing since Dark Side of the Moon, which is what he said in one interview. But I think he was talking about just his reaction to the music and the recording process and how pleasurable it was for him. So
right.
I don't know that he was talking about the quality of the songs but he was like, it's just how proud he is of this particular
album. He seems very happy now.
Yeah.
He's got that.
His kids are all over the album.
As if you read any interviews with him recently, all he wanted to do was sell the Pink Floyd catalog, and they did. So
he's very
happy.
We could talk about that.
$400 million. I mean, you know, I don't know how it works because Syd Barrett obviously is going to get some of that, but he wasn't there for a long time
I don't know how it works.
It's not going to be a million to Roger Waters, a million to David Gilmour, a million to Nick Mason, a million to Rick Wright's estate because Syd Barrett's in there.
Yeah.
But they did not buy the publishing. So really they bought the recorded works and they bought the likeness, name, and image. So essentially they bought the ability to merchandise the crap out of Pink Floyd music.
They'll do what they're doing with all these classic rock things, and they'll be putting new box sets out every 3 weeks. So
I mean, it's not like every city you go into, you can't buy Dark Side of the Moon coasters. So, I mean, it's not like this stuff isn't out there already, right?
Yeah, but now somebody else will profit.
Profit.
And they'll crack down on all those all those prisms that you see all over the place.
Well, I'm eagerly awaiting the soundtrack to some movie being Adam Hart Mother. So
yeah. Oh, speaking of that, well, this is but the there's I don't know if we talked about this before, but the Tom Hanks movie that is coming out.
We did not talk about
that. Okay, there's a trailer out, and it's got your move.
Oh, really?
As the soundtrack,
what's the
but
movie?
They changed the music around to it. Yeah, but it's really cool. Well, because it goes with this little film with the trailer, right? So they changed some of the percussion and the sounds to make it work with the trailer. But it's really good. I can't remember the name of the film. It's all filmed in one spot
Here. I keep forgetting because you did send me something about that, and it was a book. It's really like a graphic novel, but it's a lot more than that.
Yeah, and so it's
essentially
a story.
It's the same location over centuries because there's it, and you can tell the book is interesting because it kind of can build on itself and you know, so you're starting with dinosaurs and you're going up, so it is kind of, I'm kind of interested to see how they do that.
So anyway, there's
it's
in the trailer,
it's a very prog thing.
thus the yes song. So
I always thought for that movie, not knowing it was going to be a movie, but if I just like off the top of my head, that would be a perfect Stephen Wilson soundtrack for that.
Mm.
That's the first thing that comes to my mind.
Back to Pink Floyd.
Who? excuse me, which one's Pink?
So $400 million. Because they need
it. They needed it.
I mean,
David Gilmour's touring now. Is that tour going to be just like, I didn't even look at the schedule. Is it like Madison Square Garden and
he's doing, I mean, can you call it a tour? It's more like he's doing resident, you know, he's doing like multiple nights. So he's playing, you know, Madison Square Garden. He's playing, I think, somewhere out west and, you know, a couple of places in England and a few places
playing
here. It's not a tour. And it's funny though too, because from going from I'm not playing any Pink Floyd songs to the show is freaking out Pink Floyd songs. And I mean, he's pulling things like he's not doing Run Like Hell and a bunch of other stuff, but he is doing Sorrow and things like, oh, okay. You know, so I think
he's playing songs he likes.
Yeah, I think when he made that comment, he meant more the 70s, not the two albums that he was for in the 80s. Yeah, 92, the Division Bell. But certainly their welfare will not keep me up at night.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing him again. I saw them for, I think it was the either Momentary Lapse or Division Bell tour. But and it was great. I had a great time.
I mean, Dave Gilmour would have been great. He would have been great to see when Rick Wright was still playing
Echoes,
because it's just so different now. But the band sounds good. I mean, they had put out some rehearsal videos, which I thought was kind of, I was surprised that those dropped. But then they had some from like the opening show, and it's the band sounds good.
Yeah,
you know,
Guy Pratt is playing bass.
Yeah, Guy Pratt's got Guy Pratt there. But the other people are very the drummer in particular doesn't look like somebody that listened to Nick Mason, but he prepared himself for this tour because he's not playing like Nick Mason, but there are some things occasionally that, you know, clearly you've listened to it because he's got it. But obviously he's going to put together a stellar band.
And my take on the album, he kind of has talked about how he got this producer that his wife got him to get this.
Lee something.
Yeah, who's like a guy who doesn't even know Pink Floyd and blah, 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 blah.
I can't really tell
that it's some new guy like reimagining his sound, because it's definitely a David Gilmour album.
It's David Gilmour. It's not like
this is a new twist on it. It's not like they got.
I'm sure it was a very.
It's not like you're a garage band that suddenly Trevor Horn is producing and twinkling up the sound.
David Gilmour's being discovered in a garage. This is, hey, this is a collaborative process.
Yeah.
We know who's in the driver's seat.
Yeah.
And it sounds, you know.
Oh, it sounds good. It
sounds great.
But and, there, I mean, that is an ebb and flow record, too. There's yeah. some stuff that's really yeah. mellow. They do a cover. His daughter sings a cover song by which I can't remember.
Yeah. But she has a song of her own, too, on
there. Yeah. So.
And she's touring with him, or at least some of the shows.
So that's cool.
Yeah, it's and then did you see there was a video like she was playing? This was like a month or 2 months ago where she was right when they started releasing the stuff and she was playing a open mic night. He came up.
Oh, wow.
They did Wish You Were Here.
Well, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Like show and tell.
Imagine that.
Yeah, well, when he's your dad. Wow. You know, well, there's
no,
that.
But imagine that if you were at the
show. Oh, of course. Yeah, they, you know, they were. I don't think it was, oh, is David, you know, is he going to be here? You know,
no.
Well, of course he was. So,
yeah,
they played Wish You Were Here.
Who else? We got Tony Levin has a new album out.
Tony Levin has a new album out.
With a whole bunch of guests. Every song has different people on it,
yep.
Which is kind of cool.
Yeah, his stuff is always solid.
Yeah,
always
but solid. That's another a roller coaster of sounds because he's playing with all these different people, so he's really showcasing. It's not like, what was his... I can't remember the one that was in the 90s that he did. That was like...
The Water of Eden?
I think so. That was a little more...
Waters of Eden.
Yeah, it was a little more...
Ethereal
and stainy.
This is
every track is totally different.
Right. Yeah. Well, and then he went through that period where it was essentially the Tony Levin band.
Yeah.
With Larry Fass. Yeah. That was cool.
Which
that
is different as well.
Right.
And I mean, he's done so many of these bands with three other people that it's like, or two other
people. Yeah, he's always, and Liquid Tension Experiment, a lot of this stuff. Which is
but this was, amazing. This is him. And then I think he's just choosing who he wants to play on each song. And it's kind of fun.
He's earned it.
So that record is coming out on, it's out, but it is coming out on vinyl for Record Store Day, Black Friday.
Oh.
Which is in November sometime.
All right. So you're going to go to...
I don't know if I'm going to get that one.
Okay.
But
well,
is coming out with one.
What?
From the Fragile Box. They're putting together the alternate.
The Yale Bowl show?
No, that's from the, that was the S album.
I know.
They're putting an alternate.
Oh, Fragile.
All the alternate takes.
Oh, okay. All right.
So it's every single song except Cans and Brahms. And instead of Cans and Brahms, they put in All Fighters Pass, which is the, that outtake.
Not the, what was the song? Roger?
The Dean.
The Dean, yes.
The Dean is not.
Which turned out to not even be.
Terry Reid song. Potentially Alan White.
So they're going to release that. I think it's a Record Store Day exclusive.
Okay.
3,000 copies or something like that. So
nice.
I might search that out.
Okay. Well,
you know me. Even though I have
it's all about the journey.
And it literally was a journey because I don't know where the record store is.
Yeah, where do you? Yeah, you travel. Oh,
it's
did you go to Bethel? Or I'm going. If you're going that day, I'll go.
All
I want to go there. Disc and Dap.
Yeah.
Shout out to Disc and Dap. Excellent.
That's right.
Store in Bethel,
hashtag.
Connecticut. Started in Stamford, Connecticut back in the day. And the biggest surprise, Prague surprise.
Uh-oh.
Oh, Bill Bruford is
Bill Bruford.
Actually playing drums again. I mean, not that he ever said he was going to stop playing drums. So you may...
Well, he did retire.
He did retire.
He's come out of retirement.
He's come out of retirement to play jazz. You know, he's just going to be in a
which
nice
is cool.
Jazz combo.
Yeah.
Little trio. With a very good guitar. So it's a guitar jazz trio, which is even fun. So that's really fun. And there's there's kind of a montage clip that's more advertised than the guitar player. And Bruford's on and it's like, he did not lose it. Apparently he had to relearn. Was it, who told him to play again? Was it Steve Howe?
Well, I don't know who told him to play again, but I know the last time he played was at the John Wetton.
Right. They, with
tribute concert where
behind
he played
Brian Ferry, right?
He played the Brian Ferry cover.
Let's Stick Together.
To Let's Stick Together.
Together. Yeah.
I don't know who, I don't know who.
I don't know who else
played
there.
With him.
Yeah,
I don't know if Manzanera was there or.
I think he was.
I think
actually.
He was.
So
it was
probably
Manzanera was there.
Who
also has a huge who has a history box or something?
Oh yeah, he does too.
Yeah, every
he just
every
did
studio,
a biography and now he's got a compilation coming out too.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Brian Ferry has one too.
Yeah. But Bruford also, there a new interview dropped. It's like a 45-minute interview, just showed up today on YouTube. It's done by the drum company Tama. But in Britain, I guess they introduced it that Bruford is emceeing some festival in November. So that's why they did this interview.
Okay.
And it was fascinating. It's just talking to Bruford, someone who he already knows for many years. And, you know, he's kind of back, but not. You know, I mean,
in a low key kind of way.
Yeah, and he's doing what he needed to do. But was it Steve?
I don't remember. It could be Steve Howe told him to.
Like, why are you not playing the drums? Like, he should just play the drums. And he spent a year getting his chops back.
Really?
Yeah. Well, he sold all his stuff off except like a little
thing
or two.
Yeah.
It wasn't Van Halen selling every single thing down to the, you know, drumsticks, but he did. I remember when they had the
Divested.
I remember when they had these.
I went for a lot of money.
Yeah. How many of them did you get, Ted?
I actually did check it out. And was
did you get like one yellow Simmons?
You know what? Like the only thing that I think even was within the grasp was like this one off, like, oddball drum that I actually was like looking at it. I'm like, that is probably from his original kit. Because it was a Premier
Tubbs.
It was a Premier drum.
Was it hand painted Ludwig?
You're right. I think he had a Premier kit and he claimed it was a Ludwig kit and he painted it over and claimed it was a Ludwig kit and then got a Ludwig kit. But then, yeah, he was a Tama guy forever. I remember reading an interview with him several years ago when one of his box sets or books or something was coming out, and he made a comment in the interview where he said, well, I still have a small kit that's in my house, but I haven't touched it. And he said, and I walked past the kit, and he said something about, and I walked past my piano, and I have no interest in stopping by. And so that's when
in a very Bill Bruford kind of way, right. I'm sure that's how he said it.
Yeah, so it really surprised me
that he was back.
At the time it was like, oh, okay, so you're just stopping completely. It was kind of odd, you know, for someone who plays that much. But I was like, okay, and then he, you know, had a second life, right? He got a doctorate and he's Professor
Bruford. Writing and doing this.
But it does not surprise me one bit that he got the bug and was like, yeah, I'll just go play some chill jazz. And it's
but of course,
nothing, you know?
But of course, everyone is the like, oh, what does this mean? He's going to do this. No. He might just be playing jazz for the rest of his life.
He may just because now everybody's going to go, not that that's a bad thing, but of course all these gigs are going to be packed now. And he may be like, this isn't, you know, he's going
to
be like,
this is not what it's about. Yeah, I'm going to have to sneak out.
I sneak out with a suit.
Fake mustache.
You know, fake mustache. Fake mustache, you know, and it'd be Bruce.
Yeah.